In the end, three more teams reached the last 16 on Wednesday after a night of high, high drama across Europe. Inter, Liverpool and Porto can look forward to Champions League knockout stage football in the new year. Atletico and Barcelona can no longer make it through. So the top two positions in Group A, B and C are sorted with one match to go. But all four clubs in Group D still have hopes of progressing. It is a remarkable section. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes. I'm Chris Parrott and welcome to our review of Wednesday. I've got a super panel alongside me, joined by commentators Wayne Boyce, who watched Ajax against Liverpool, and Andy Barge, who saw Tottenham host Sporting. Wayne, first word to you. Liverpool last season's beaten finalists in the end cruised through, really, to the round of 16.
They certainly did, and that's what's been so strange about Liverpool this season, is that you just don't know what you're going to get from them. I mean, it wasn't a vintage performance tonight from Liverpool. They were just clinical, as Alvaro said. They took their chances. Four attempts on goal, three goals, 10-minute spell, game over. And it's so difficult, that, for Ajax to cope with that, because they came into the game, the atmosphere was there, they were up for it, missed a couple of early chances, and as happens against the top teams in this competition, you pay for that.
We'll review that game in depth very shortly. Andy saw Tottenham against Sporting. I mentioned how frankly ridiculous Group D is, Andy, and what a finish to that game.
An unbelievable finish to the game, Chris. Not just injury time. The last 10 minutes, Spurs threw everything they had at Sporting. Eric Dier missed a couple of headers, but then with 10 seconds to go, Harry Kane sticks the ball into the back of the net and it's ruled out for VAR after some chaotic celebrations in the stands. A truly fantastic Champions League evening at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And as you say, if Group D was unpredictable at the start of play, well, where are we now?
I don't know. I'm lost for words, frankly, which is not good, considering we're going to have to try and sum it all up. We've got the European football expert Alvaro Romeo with us as well. Apart from those two games, what else caught your eye on Wednesday?
Well, the fact that the two Spanish sides were out in the same day, which is disappointing for Spanish football. We knew about Barcelona because Inter beat Big Pilsenia, and after that it was impossible for them to qualify. They couldn't beat Bayern, at least to give themselves a little bit of hope ahead of the new Europa League campaign that they will be probably playing. Definitely playing. But Atletico de Madrid one had a lot of drama too, because they had a penalty in the last second of the game just to make sure that they had a little bit of life coming into the Dragao. But Yannick Ferreira Carrasco missed his penalty, and then there were a couple of rebounds. Atletico couldn't score, and Bayer Leverkusen managed to get a draw in Madrid. So two Spanish sides are out of the Champions League, all together with Sevilla, which makes it three. Real Madrid is the only Spanish team through.
Commiserations, Alvaro.
Sorry, I'm going to cry. Give me a napkin, please. A handkerchief.
So, these are the scores on Wednesday. Group A, Napoli 3, Rangers 0, Ajax 0, Liverpool 3, enough to put Liverpool into the round of 16. In Group B, Club Brugge 0, Porto 4 in one of the early games. That meant that Atletico had to beat Leverkusen, and they couldn't after that extraordinary end. Finished 2-2. Group C, Inter 4, Pulsenia 0. That was enough to put Inter through and knock Barcelona out before their game with Bayern. Finished a comfortable win for Bayern at Camp Nou. And in Group D, as Andy mentioned, it finished Tottenham 1, Sporting 1 in the end, and Eintracht Frankfurt 2, Marseille 1. Where to start? Group A, I think, but it's a tough one tonight. Ajax had to win if they were to keep their hopes alive as they welcome Liverpool to Amsterdam, and Alvaro and Wayne were watching.
Plays it into Mo Salah! And bang on cue! Liverpool take the lead, and suddenly the Egyptian maestro was clear inside the penalty area, and with one flick of that magic boot, puts the ball past Remco Pasveer, and the header is in from Darwin Nunez. Outswinging corner, and the Uruguayan, who missed an open goal from 3 yards out at the end of the first half, hasn't let it affect him at all. Javier Elliott's in behind, the angle is tight, and he finds the back of the net. A wonderful goal from Harvey Elliott, and it is 3-0 for Liverpool, who have made a stunning start to this second half.
Beautiful goal, not the roof of the net, and it was like a 3-0, and I think that this game is pretty much game over for Ajax, really.
Yeah, Liverpool haven't been great on the road this season. Wayne, I think they've won two games now, and they've both been in the Champions League. They hit 7 in Glasgow and 3 in Amsterdam, and they knew a win was enough before this evening, and thoroughly professional display.
Yeah, and in keeping with their form away from home in the Champions League, because that is actually now 9 wins in their last 11 away games. They're only defeats on the road, 3-1 away to Real Madrid, the season we were talking about when Van Dijk was missing and the likes of Nat Phillips were playing at the back in that game, and the 4-1 hammering that they took at Napoli. Other than that, 9 wins and 11 on the road. It's just astonishing, isn't it?
It is, and I think that Liverpool, they have shown again that maybe not for a long league, but for short tournaments, they are going to be very dangerous. Nobody wants to play against them. Last season, they reached 3 finals. This season in the Champions League, they have beaten Rangers very comfortably, Ajax twice, and I want to see what they do against Napoli in the next game. Look, and the best thing for them is that they don't have fresh injuries or new injuries, because considering that they have had so many this season, it's great to leave again without any more players injured. Jurgen Klopp did 5 substitutions because he knew that he has to keep fresh legs for the next game. And all in all, I think that it was a very good game for everyone, because Darwin Núñez scored after missing a very clear one. I think that was very good for his confidence. And Mohamed Salah, he has scored 6 in the Champions League. He's the joint top scorer all together with Kylian Mbappé. Maybe this season of Mohamed Salah is not his best ever season, and yet he's scoring so many goals in the Champions League. It's incredible, really.
Yeah, I thought he was supposed to be struggling, Mo Salah, this season, but it was an impudent finish from Salah. But if we talk about the game as a whole, in the end, Liverpool ever so comfortable, but Ajax had some major chances at 0-0.
Yeah, they did. That Steven Berghaus one, when really he should have scored. I mean, he centred the goal, only Alisson to beat, 6-7 yards out, and hits the post, and then he had that chance from the edge of the box, and he's the kind of player that we know can score from there. But once Salah got that goal, something seemed to drop out of Ajax. It was almost like, this is too much for us to do. And at the start of the second half, Liverpool just took the game away from them. It was a decent away performance in Europe without being that overbearing Liverpool performance we expect to see.
Well, let's hear from the Ajax captain now, Dusan Tadic, who was disappointed at full-time.
It's really painful because I think first half we play better. We have some chances, 2 chances with Steven and 1 mine chance. And I think if we score goal, will be totally different game. Liverpool is a strong team, and when they score 1 goal, we give them a lot of space after. But what I say, I think if we score goals first half, then will be totally different game, because I think in first 30 minutes we play good game.
Ajax have given this competition so much recently, and we know their rich European Cup history. First time they've conceded 3 or more goals in 3 consecutive European matches, and of course they had to win to have any hope, and it was still a slim hope to go through. But we're not going to see them in the round of 16, and you could hear the pain in Dusan Tadic's voice there, Alvaro.
You could hear it. It must be very eroding when you are doing a good half and suddenly you see that Liverpool has generated 3-4 chances, they score 3 goals, and it's game over. It has to be very difficult to take. I think that Liverpool show a lot of efficiency, and Ajax game wasn't perfect. I don't think that Liverpool was too uncomfortable any time. Of course, Ajax had chances. Some of them came a little bit out of the blue, in my opinion, because when it came to playing and the game, Ajax game wasn't too good. For example, I think that the midfield was just a quick toll to negotiate very quickly for Ajax players. I don't think that they controlled the game very well. I also think that Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez were never fully challenged in the game, and it was disappointing for Ajax, yes, but now they have the chance to win a European tournament again, because they go to the Europa League and they reach the final in 2017, so why not to think, come on, we're going to take revenge for that final we lost.
I was just looking, we were talking during the game, weren't we, about the fact that Liverpool probably will finish runners-up in this group. And I was just looking, as the groups are at the moment, obviously Liverpool can't play Manchester City, Chelsea, Tottenham, who are currently all top of their group, obviously Napoli, because they're in the same group. So that leaves a last 16 tie with either Bayern, Real, Paris, or Club Brugge.
I love it when we start pondering about the draw. It's a very interesting point, though, whether you top your section or finish second. And also, that idea that the Champions League is kind of in two sections, right? You just make sure you get into the round of 16. How you are now, particularly this season with the break for the World Cup, compared to where you are in February, it could almost be a different team.
And there is a factor that we haven't spoken about. For example, if a national side with many players in the Champions League wins the World Cup, those players go into the next competition oozing with confidence. I remember that Barcelona won the Champions League with 7 or 8 Spanish internationals right after winning the World Cup as well.
Yeah.
So that tells you that the players can gain a lot of confidence from the World Cup. But anyway, you have to be in. You have to make sure to qualify. Then in January, it will be a very different story. So well done to Liverpool. And I still say the same thing I said in the broadcast. Liverpool has beaten aside 4-0 just to go through to the next stage, to the final of the Champions League of 2019. This is what they have to do against Napoli. It's not impossible. It can be done. I think that Napoli will have the upper hand, but it's not impossible. They can still beat Napoli.
Yeah, but then that will ruin Wayne's lovely comment about who they could potentially face.
And also, it depends how desperate Liverpool are to win 4-0. Obviously, against Barcelona, it was the semi-final. They were desperate to win 4-0. Will Liverpool fear playing Real, Bayern, Paris? I mean, will Liverpool fear anybody, especially if they sign a midfielder maybe in January?
Yeah, I think it goes the other way, in fact. Yeah. It's the other way around. I mean, you come out first of your group. You think, OK, I've done the job. I've done it better than the other three sides in my group. And suddenly you are playing against Liverpool. Yeah, that's a big setback, of course.
No one will want to play Napoli, I can absolutely guarantee you of that, because they were 3-0 winners already through, of course. Very comfortable against Rangers. They started the game without Victor Osimhen, Irving Lozano or Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, the young Georgian. Not bad, because they had Giovanni Simeone, who scored twice. They had Giacomo Raspadori, who was excellent again, and they had Matteo Politano, who was pretty decent too. The third goal was scored in the second half of first ever Champions League by the young Norwegian Leo Ostigos. So congratulations to Napoli, who have won 5 out of 5 and are hoping to join the 100% club on matchday 6, when, of course, as we've mentioned, they meet Liverpool. So that is that for Group A. Let's head to Group C now, because in one of the early games, Victoria Pulzenia were the visitors to Milan to face Inter, who knew a win would be enough to seal their place in the round of 16. Daniele Fisichella and Stephen Wyeth were your commentators for this.
Cross towards Edin Dzeko, who leaves it, and there is eventually the opening goal for Inter. It's been coming, and it has finally been delivered. DeMarco, wonderful control, across the face of goal, tapping. Edin Dzeko with Inter's second. Yet another goal for him against Victoria Pilsenia. Martinez looking to work an angle for the shot. Instead, picks out Dzeko, who guides it left-footed into the bottom corner. Inter lead 3-0.
He guides it into the bottom corner, unreachable for Stanek. And that's, if confirmed, of course, is the 3-0 for Inter. And the ticket to the knockout stage, it's already printed.
Lukaku looking to turn away from Jamelka. Oh, back in towards Romelu Lukaku, who returns with a goal to lift the roof off San Siro. And once the ball was back at the Belgians' feet, well, the outcome was inevitable.
This is just the cherry on the cake, the goal of Romelu Lukaku, the man that everyone waited.
Yeah, a perfect night sealed by that Romelu Lukaku goal, who's had such injury problems on his second coming in Milan. But he is back on the pitch and scoring, and of course can now look forward to playing in the Champions League knockout stages with Inter. Simone Inzaghi saying after the game that Inter have done something special this season. They've gone beyond expectations by knocking out Barcelona with that victory, and going through with a match to spare alongside Bayern in this most compelling and most difficult of sections. So Barcelona knew before their game, Alvaro, with Bayern at home, that they were out, and they were pretty comfortably beaten. So a tough night for Barcelona, who, for the second season in a row, out in the Champions League group stage?
Yeah, I mean, just to look at the positives, there has been an improvement because between last season's Barcelona and this season's Barcelona. Because last season, Barcelona scored only 2 goals in the group stage. This season, they had a very tough group. They played against Inter, they played against Bayern, Victoria Pilsenia. And I have to say that after the international break, when they lost Memphis, De Jong for a little while, Araujo, and Jules Koundé, Barcelona was doomed because they had too many injuries in the same department, the right flank of the defense. All that together with a difficult draw and the fact that Barcelona is still work in progress, I don't want to put any excuse. I think that Barcelona should be disappointed with their performance. But of course, it was a very difficult group, and I think that Inter got the better of them, and Bayern is still miles ahead of Barcelona. Bayern, in fact, has been Barcelona's behemoth over the last 3 or 4 years. They have beaten them so many times in so many different ways, always with heavy scorelines, by the way, because the last time they played at the Camp Nou, Bayern also beat them heavily. So, you know, Barcelona will have to think a little bit about what they want right now, probably to go through in the Europa League and to fight for La Liga. But this is work in progress for Xavi, really, because this is the second season in a row that Barcelona doesn't make it through the group stage. And even financially, this is very hard to take for Barcelona.
Hasn't happened since the 1990s that Barcelona haven't been in the knockout stages for 2 seasons in a row. Bayern, very impressive, given that they were already through. Sadio Mane opened the scoring. Eric Choupo-Moting got a second, and then Benjamin Pavard, right at the end, made it 3-0. Serge Gnabry had a wonderful goal, disallowed correctly for offside, but he was only just offside. And given some of the injuries and some of the absentees for Bayern to be so impressive under Julian Nagelsmann, again, yeah, that machine just keeps on rolling, even if it hasn't quite been as spectacular as normal in the Bundesliga. In the Champions League, they're flying.
Yeah, definitely. And there is something about the Real Madrid and the Bayern spirit. I think that they share the same one, really. Sometimes in the league, I would say that they can get some bad results here and there because they know that they have the margin just to recover and to fight for the title. However, in the Champions League, normally they make sure that they do the job very quickly. Bayern has been in this Champions League phenomenal. They have been way better than Inter, way better than Barcelona, and they have killed off so many games in the first half as well. This is a very well-oiled machine, and the firepower they've got, even without Robert Lewandowski, who has scored already 5 goals for Barcelona in the Champions League, it is very remarkable. I think that Bayern is going to be one of these monsters in the knockout stage, because nobody wants to play against them, really. The firepower they've got up front, that's the thing that makes the difference between Bayern and many other sides, and the physicality as well, because they can also go full attack, and they know that if the opponent has a counter-attack, the likes of Lucas Hernandez, Pavard, Upamecano, they are so fast that you can rely on the individual hierarchy just to stop the opponent. Bayern has a very good side, and I think that they are one of the main candidates to win it.
Very impressive this evening. Sir Robert Lewandowski is not going to be in the Champions League knockout stage. He's one of the great goal scorers. Yeah. And interesting at the end at Camp Nou, Sergio Busquets went back out at Camp Nou to acknowledge the great support that Barcelona got. Of course, his contract is up at the end of the season. You know, one of the great Champions League midfielders, but who knows whether we'll see him in Barcelona colours back in the competition next season. So Barcelona knocked out because of that Inter victory. Now we have to head to Group D, and we could do an hour on this, frankly. It's an absolutely remarkable section. At the start of the night, 3 teams could go through on match day 5. All 4 teams could still ultimately progress. So Tottenham met Sporting. Both knew that a win might be enough to put them through. And Andy Barge was watching in North London.
Lovely interplay between Sporting again, and it's Edwards bursting clear. 4-on-4. Sporting look to make the most of this, and it's in! A stunning goal by Marcus Edwards. And Group D has become even more unpredictable in London. In swinging corner. And then it goes! Equaliser for Tottenham. It looks like it was Bentancur rising highest to nod the ball home. And yet another twist after turn in Group D. 1-1.
That really wasn't the end, Andy, as well, because Harry Kane thought he'd won it. He thought he'd put Tottenham into the last 16, but he was just offside.
Yes, it's I think that we could talk about this for an hour, Chris. And did I hear Wayne try and predict who would finish top of this group just 10 minutes ago?
He did. He's realised the error in his ways.
As it stands.
Qualified it well.
An incredible finish to the game. There were unbelievable celebrations when Harry Kane put the ball in the back of the net. Away he ran to the dugout. There was a big pile-up of Tottenham players. Antonio Conte was in the thick of it. Fans were spilling over their seats, and then their happiness turned to despair just a minute or maybe even 2 minutes later when Kane's goal was ruled out for offside. So really there is all to play for in this group, Chris. An amazing evening of Champions League football, not just in London but in Group D in general, with Frankfurt beating Marseille 2-1. It couldn't really be more exciting, could it?
No, I mean let's go through the section, because I think we have to talk about it as a whole group. We'll get on to how Tottenham came back and how well Sporting played as well, Andy. But Tottenham have 8 points, Sporting have 7 points, Frankfurt have 7 points, and Marseille have 6 points. So going into match day 6, these are the fixtures: Marseille against Tottenham and Sporting against Frankfurt. They could all go through. They could all go out. I think they could all finish third as well, which is going to be brilliant. And that is next Tuesday, by the way. So listen to that on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. So Sporting started the game really well, and Marcus Edwards, who came through at Tottenham and is a boyhood fan of the club, scored a really good goal by the sounds of things.
It was a lovely goal, Chrissy. He picked up the ball just inside the Tottenham half. He rode a tackle, and as he was driving towards the penalty area, Romero and the rest of the Spurs defence, they weren't interested in going to close him down, so he took the invitation and drove a low shot into Lloris's bottom left-hand corner. It was an unstoppable drive. It had pace, it had zip, and it had accuracy, and that put Sporting deservedly 1-0 up, to be honest. They were the team that were pressurising Tottenham, and Tottenham didn't really look like they had many answers for it at both ends, to be honest. They were struggling to stop Sporting's pressure, and they were struggling to break Sporting down in their own third. So when Tottenham came out for the second half, they had to be a completely different team, and Chris, to be honest, they were.
Marcus Edwards is 23 now, Andy. He joined Tottenham when he was 8, and I'm sure this goal will have meant a lot to him. We can hear from Marcus Edwards now.
Yeah, I know it's crazy for me. It's crazy that all my family and friends are here supporting me. So obviously I wasn't gonna celebrate, but I was just too happy. Like, it took me a long time to get here, so just can't help myself. Like, everyone's here for me, supporting me, so it's good, man.
Marcus Edwards there, who of course scored against Tottenham on match day 2 as well. So Spurs, we're doing some maths now, Alvaro's got his calculator out, and Spurs still only need a point on match day 6 to go through. The others, not even going to get into it now, to be honest. It is going to be so complicated. But Tottenham, we've seen it a lot this season, that Antonio Conte's side are better in the second half. And by the sounds of things, they did rally and were good value for the point in the end, would you say?
Yes, wholeheartedly. They were the better team in the second half. They had to be, because Sporting had them in the palm of their hands in the first half. And after they equalised through Bentancur, they could have gone on and scored a second even before Kane thought he had. Eric Dier missed two headers from the edge of the 6 yard line, which glanced just wide of the post. He'll be bitterly disappointed with the first one. He didn't get the contact that was desired. And then a word as well for Brian Heal, who came off the bench and really impacted the game on the right hand side for Spurs. Sporting struggled to cope with his drop of the shoulders, with his runs in behind, and he added a different dimension to the Spurs attack for sure. In saying that though, Chris, Sporting could have wrapped it all up and made it 2-0, because there was a chance up the other end, in fact two in quick succession, for Flavio Nazinho. A one-on-one parried by Lloris, and then less than a minute later the ball suddenly broke to him in the penalty area just from the penalty spot, and he side-footed it wide from an open goal. I think that probably incentivised the home support. They roared their team on, come on Tottenham, we're still in this. They went and got the equaliser, and then all the drama unfolding in injury time.
I think you used the word pulsating in commentary, and it was certainly a breathless night. Let's hear from Matt Doherty after it. He says he's glad to be topping the group going into the final match day.
If we're being honest, we didn't really play that well. I thought they nullified us quite well in the first half, and probably deserved to be ahead. But like you said, we're still top of the group, I think, and look, it's still in our hands. I know it's not ideal, it's not how we wanted the night to go, but it's still in our hands.
Matt Doherty there. So Frankfurt and Marseille are the other two sides in this section, and Frankfurt were bottom coming into match day five, and they didn't mathematically need to win, but it would certainly have helped their chances, and they got the success against Marseille. Kamara put them 1-0 up after 3 minutes. Mathieu Guendouzi equalised. And then Kolo Muani, a lovely 1-2 and a super finish to make it 2-1. All the goals in the first 27 minutes. There could have been a lot more. And again, Alvaro, bring you now into this section. I mean, all four teams. We heard from Igor Tudor before the match saying how it's a section where none of the Champions League favourites are being housed. And my word, they all have amazing home atmospheres. And they can all still dream of a place in the round of 16.
Yeah, and these four sides, I think that they look at the future and they think that they are going to be slightly better in the future than they are now, because they are all growing. Frankfurt, winner of the Europa League, Tottenham with a very ambitious project, Sporting Club Portugal with a great young coach like Ruben Amorim, Olympique Marseille, they want to qualify for the Champions League again. They believe with Igor Tudor that they can do it, even though they are going through a rough patch. So I think that this group was going to be super entertaining from the very beginning, but it excelled my expectations, because I thought that by this point maybe it could be decided, if not two spots, at least one. So this is glorious, really, because contrary to the other groups that we have seen, in which everything has been pretty much decided, here we have still plenty of drama to come. So I'm expecting the best from match day six, really.
Right, decision time. Andy, starting with you, I want to know who's going through from Group D.
Oh, now that's a question. Okay. I think Sporting will see off Frankfurt, and I think it will be very nervy for Tottenham against Marseille. I think that will be a draw, which means that Sporting would go through as group winners and Tottenham would finish runners-up.
I think Spurs will beat Marseille. I think they go to the Stade Velodrome and Spurs will win that and win the group. And Sporting, Frankfurt, toss of a coin, home advantage, I'd go Sporting to win that. So I know I said it earlier, but I think it's going to finish as it is. Tottenham on top, Sporting second.
I'm going to go for Frankfurt to qualify, because away from home they've been very good, and they beat Barcelona last season away from home. West Ham United, remember what happened last year. So Frankfurt and Spurs, because they only need a point. So I'm sure that Antonio Conte's side is going to manage at least to draw.
I'm honestly so excited for match day six and Group D. Let's finish our look at Wednesday's action in Group B. Club Brugge 0, Porto 4. It was enough to send the Portuguese side into the round of 16. Mehdi Taremi scored twice in Belgium and was named the UEFA Player of the Match. Here were his thoughts after that success.
We're feeling good. Was a perfect game for us. The important thing was our attitude. From the beginning, we created a lot of chances, and thanks to that, we could win the game. Bruges, actually, they are a good team, and they are so good, and we played very well. Good luck for them and for us too.
So 4-0 at 1-0. Porto's Diogo Costa saved two penalties. Saved one, it was retaken because he just stepped off his line, saved another, and Porto went on to win the game. They weren't through at full time, because Atletico would have kept their hopes alive if they'd beaten Leverkusen. That was 2-2, Alvaro, very quickly. And then what happened in the 99th minute? Because Atletico were given a penalty after Jan Oblak came up for a corner, but they couldn't score.
They couldn't score because Yannick Carrasco missed his penalty, the rebound was missed by Atletico players, and unfortunately that was it. That was the end of it. Full stop. Atletico is out of the Champions League, but the last time they were out of the Champions League so early, they ended up winning the Europa League, I remember, in 2018. So that is a very good omen.
Very, very true. Alvaro, thank you very much.
You.
Wayne, Andy, thank you very much. It was a blistering night in the Champions League. Through on Wednesday, Inter, Liverpool and Porto, they join Bayern, Benfica, Club Brugge, Chelsea, Dortmund, Manchester City, Napoli, Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid in the last 16. We are back though next week. Match day 6 is here, and then we will know the complete lineup for the round of 16. Join us on Tuesday and Wednesday as the group stage comes to a conclusion. Who can claim those precious remaining places in the last 16? But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's good night.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.